In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joyous feast day.
Joyous.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Our reading from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John this morning. "Now indeed Christ has been glorified in his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And it is today, that last great day of the feast that began on Holy Pascha. It is now 50 days later, the holy day of Pentecost, also called the Day of the Trinity in the Orthodox Church. On this day, brothers and sisters, God is revealed in glory and power to be the Trinity, the one God in three divine persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Holy Spirit of God is fully manifest on this holy day of Pentecost. And each of us is invited to partake of the living water of the Holy Spirit in our lives. During these Paschal days, we've been shouting a good bit. I've been shouting, and you've been shouting back at me. And there was absolute reason to shout and to glorify the risen Lord, who has now gone up with a shout. And his ascension has brought us this momentous day of grace, as promised. The day of the coming of the Comforter. "Comfort, comfort my people," saith the Lord, in the voice of the prophet Isaiah. But today is a quieter day. Still great and holy, but not so loud. Yes, the original day of Pentecost was the rushing mighty wind with the tongues of fire. And the result of that extraordinary phenomena was the church. The church was given birth at that moment through that outpouring, through that extraordinary event on this day of Pentecost. But from henceforth, the presence of the Spirit in the life of Christians is mysterious. It is that still small voice that Elias heard on the mountain, the same one that the saints have heard in every generation. The ability to hear that voice is given to each of us in that great grace of holy baptism, as the baptismal service itself calls it, that great grace of holy baptism. And it is the response to our Lord's mandate: except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In the church's mysteries of baptism and chrismation, the Lord's words are fulfilled. That which he desires for us is completed. We are born again of water and the Spirit in baptism and chrismation. That we would be spiritual beings, more than mere flesh and blood, more than mere upright animals, that we would live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. St. Paul says to Romans, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. For if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8. Brothers and sisters, we live in a very unspiritual time. We live in a carnal, pleasure-driven, flesh-dominated world. And our challenge ever before us is that Christians are called to a higher, spirit-filled life. And that life is not, as the fallen world accuses us, devoid of pleasure. It is not devoid of pleasure. The first fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace. So surely there is pleasure. There is satisfaction in love and joy and peace abiding in our spirits. But it is a deeper pleasure of the Spirit. And the fleshly world longs for the peace that God offers us in the church. This fleshly world longs for peace and satisfaction. However, they long for it in the flesh, and they do not find it. We're not made to find our fulfillment in our flesh alone. Man does not live by bread alone. There is no comfort for those seeking only the comfort that the flesh can give. And people wear themselves out in the pursuit of fleshly pleasure, grown old through sin. Yes, there is comfort. There is comfort in the marriage bed. But that's because, ideally, it is accompanied by love instead of lust, and by the peace of God's blessing. God's blessing to be together and to be fruitful and multiply. And that peace instead of shame, and the ambiguity, and the sadness and darkness of sin. Grace is understood in Orthodox theology to be not an intermediary force, as is taught in Latin theology, but the very presence of God, the very presence of the Holy Spirit. When we say grace, we mean the presence of the Holy Spirit. And yes, in the West they taught such a thing as created grace, that you can't touch God directly, but only through an intermediary substance. And this teaching is in their books, at least from the time of the controversy faced by St. Gregory Palamas with Western, when he encountered Western theologians and their ideas. Grace is the real presence of our Lord, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit in our souls. But again, it is a soft, quiet, even delicate presence. The Spirit makes active and powerful all the gracious rites and actions of the Holy Church, but He does not force Himself on us. And we are careful, and this is why we are careful liturgically, to invite the Spirit and not drive Him away, and be mindful of all our actions, whether at the altar, in the body of Christ, in the nave, in the church, wherever we are. An elder told someone that once at the high point of the liturgy, which is probably the anaphora or the epiclesis is where we actually ask God to send the Holy Spirit, as he sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles, to send Him here at this liturgy, at every liturgy that is served. And at that moment, he was serving in a women's monastery, and the nun who was serving in the altar, and yes, nuns serve in the altar at women's monasteries. They don't wear their brocade robes, they just wear their blacks. But she was serving, and at that moment of highest prayer, she jiggled the censer, and the elder said he could feel the grace leaving. The grace went away. So the grace of God is delicate and cared for and precious. And our actions and certainly our passions can chase the Spirit away. If the Spirit can be moved to leave just by just a sudden in a sudden little action like that, that a holy elder could feel. Indeed, we should consider that and ponder that. In our own personal life, it's the passions which bar the door to deeper grace in our lives. Therefore, we have to do everything our faith teaches us to do in order to kick down that door. Everything we do in the life of the church is to kick down the door of the passions, to put aside our passions so that we can live and breathe in the Spirit. St. Basil the Great said, passions are like a closed door. Unless someone opens this closed door, he will not enter into divine communion. He says, so long as the soul is sick with passions, it cannot perceive that which is spiritual. And St. Isaac said, the most grievous disease of the soul, the worst calamity and disaster, is to not know God. Evagrius said, what a man loves, that he certainly desires, and what he desires, that he strives to attain. So finally, brothers and sisters, it is love and desire, but it is love and desire for God, for the higher calling of our life and destiny, which can drive us into the arms of grace. May we desire our highest longing and our greatest calling as children of God, as children of our Father, born of the Spirit. And if we desire to know and love God above all, the Spirit Himself will help us. God will help us to find God, according to the teaching, even praying through us. As St. Paul says again in Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us within one another and helps to build us up each other in grace. So let us finally today on this special day of the Spirit quietly but resolutely ask the gracious Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, to come and remain with us once more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Joyous feast day.